One thing I love about the course is that it communicates on incredibly on any level that you need it to relate to you on. So it doesn't matter what level of consciousness that you are on, it'll meet you there. So what I like about it is that you can apply it to every little thing that we think we go through in the world, and we could also apply it to the highest levels of our consciousness and the highest level to our identity. So I want you to think of it this way. When we do it today, I want you to think of it in terms of something that's on your mind right now, as well as thinking of it in terms of awakening as a spiritual being. That's what I'm primarily interested in, is awakening. I learned a long time ago that I was never upset for the reason I thought, and that it wasn't the problems that I thought was the problem that was the problem, and it wasn't any of the solutions that I thought was the solution was the solution. So I'm glad of that, because it kept me from constantly coming up with schemes to make myself happy all the time. And then coming up with one thing after another thing after another thing, and then trying to figure out how I was going to make it happen. What I found out was that the more you work on remembering who you really are at a spiritual level, the more all that stuff will begin to take care of itself. But the ego part of our mind tells us when we take care of all the stuff in the world, then we'll have time for our spiritual work. But it's the spiritual work that gives you the time. It's not the physical work that gives you the time. So that's what I'm working on. That's just me. But if you have a situation that you're trying to deal with right now, this also gives you the step to go through to open up your mind so that your own inner guide can tell you what the answer is. Because the Course says we're always being given the answer all the time, but we just don't hear it. That we're always getting the answers all the time, but we just don't hear it. Yeah, exactly. What you say?
Did you hear something?
Yeah, because think about this. You can feel like the Course in Miracles might have enough insight for you to come to a class, right? Right? I hope so, y'all sitting up here. That's the one thing I should have got agreement on, you know. All right. But I can come directly out of the book sharing the answer to whatever you think your dilemma is. There's not a dilemma you can bring up that I can't go to a part of this book that it doesn't address it. Exactly how to heal it. There's nothing you can come up with that this book doesn't say exactly how to heal it. But if you notice, even when I'm talking in a physical voice to you, you go unconscious and don't hear me. And that's a physical voice. You're hearing through your physical ear. So how successful do you think you are at hearing a still, small voice? If we don't even hear a physical voice that's right in front of us, loud and clear, that's saying something that we say we want to hear, then how do you think you're actually listening to the voice for God that's even quieter and even softer than how I'm talking to you right now? That's because it's deep within you. So that's what the Course is saying. You're getting that. We're getting the answers all the time, every minute of the day, but we're not hearing it. We're not hearing it, and we're not hearing it because there's a part of the mind that is drawing our attention away from the voice. There's a part of our mind that's drawing our attention away from the voice through the use of pain and pleasure. God is talking to you. Your higher self is talking to you right now. You know the situation you were thinking about this morning? You are being told specifically how to deal with that right now. The reason why we don't hear that voice is our attention is being drawn to our body. Either some pleasure about our body, I'm hungry, I got to go walking, I got to go take care of this, I got to take care of that, or some pain, something is hurting, or some pleasure, there's something good I want to do today. So the Course is saying the reason why we don't hear our inner guidance is because we're distracted by our body. And if you're lucky, you'll find somebody to distract with.
I've had some great distractions in my day as well. It's okay for us to be people. Okay. So it's when it's a smaller class like this, I like to take it slow.
and bring it home. So I want to kind of throw it back out to you. Did you just hear the answer?
Yes.
Did it rock your world?
You can be honest.
Did it rock your world?
No, because I'm still frustrated.
Okay, thank you. That's an honest answer. You know why it didn't rock your world?
Because you don't really believe it.
Because you've already made up what you think the answer is to the problem you haven't been able to solve yet. And what I said did not correspond with what your ego has decided the answer is, and so therefore it had no relevance, and therefore it produced no excitement and no inspiration. You've already made up another answer that you're trying to work out right now.
So you might even hear the answer, but you're not listening to it because you already set your sights on the one that you decided.
Right. So the course, there's a language that says, you have received many answers. You just haven't heard them yet. I thought that was interesting. It's like you're getting, that's what I realized years ago with this book. It's like you're getting answers all the time. And it seems always to see somebody else's ego and then your own, even though it's how you see your own. I don't know about y'all, but that's the way it is with me. Mm-hmm. I can read this book, and then I can see everybody acting out the ego. Okay? And what I noticed about the ego is that when it receives an answer, it's not interested in the answer because the answer would give you peace. And if you had peace, you would hear the guidance. And if you heard the guidance, you wouldn't have your ego. So what's joyful to your spirit is painful to your ego. So your ego doesn't like the truth. But your spirit, your real self, is glad to hear the truth. And it used to throw me off as a teacher because sometimes I'd be expecting a different kind of reaction from people, and I realized, no, their ego is not going to jump up and down when I share the Course in Miracles. And people's egos don't. Because I'm saying in this class, every single thing that your ego has tried to prevent you from hearing through keeping you constantly distracted by the world. But when you come here, you're actually hearing what you were supposed to be distracted from. So you got directly went to the thing you're not supposed to hear. Because right now you're supposed to be too caught up in your outer world to even be here. Because you got things to do. Places to be. We got stuff we got to do. See what I'm saying? So the stuff we got to do, that's the stuff we use to continually distract ourselves from hearing the voice. What you think about that? Does it sound about right? And it doesn't have to. I mean, I'm open for discussion, especially on Wednesday. Because it's smaller. So just, you can really take advantage of my awareness of the Course.
So if we don't hear that voice, or we hear the answer that we came up with, then we go back to the rules for decision.
Yeah.
And we say, maybe there's another way to look at this.
Yeah.
I notice that I don't have peace.
Yeah, exactly.
And I ask for another way.
Right. You go, I'm feeling conflict right now. At least I can decide that I don't like the way I feel. Because I've got to decide something. So at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel. And so I hope I'm wrong. I want another way to look at this. Perhaps there is another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? That's how you break your ego's control over you. I'm feeling bad. At least I can decide I don't like it. But I don't want to be right. Because if I'm right, I'm screwed.
That's where you break the ego.
That's where you break.
You
so you
want to be right.
Right. So as soon as you say, there you go.
I hope I'm wrong.
There you go.
Then you're giving that breath of moment for spirit.
Exactly. Exactly. The minute you say, I hope that I'm wrong, you can't be in your ego. Really. Because your ego is the part that wants to be right. And we said ego, we're talking about a part of the mind. So we're not talking about some external force that's wreaking havoc on us. It's a part of our mind. Okay? And the Course talks about it as if it's separate from us. It says, so that in the beginning we won't take it lightly. So it's just a stage in our understanding what we're doing to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's to say my ego this, my ego that. Because every time you do that, you undo your ego. Every time you say my ego is jealous, my ego is mad, my ego believes in lack, my ego is afraid, my ego is trying to make it, my ego, my ego, my ego. In the beginning, it's great to do it that way because you're separating yourself from that part of your mind long enough to take a look at it. And it also helps you not take things so personally that you do. My ego cussed somebody out today is different from I did. My ego hates my daddy. It's easier for me to say than I hate my daddy. Notice that. Whenever you use the ego to describe your feeling, you automatically feel more peace, but you're also not in denial about what a part of your mind is feeling right now. My ego is sick. My ego is depressed. My ego is disoriented. Because every time you say that, you're learning to tell the difference between your false part of your mind and the real part of your mind. So that's really great to think about too. The fact that the level of consciousness that we're communicating from in the class is not a level of consciousness that you can listen to nor understand until you are awakened or awakening. So what I'm saying is meaningless to the ego. So you may be at a point in your spiritual path that you have to let go of the desire to have everybody understand you or agree with you, or you be able to necessarily talk to them about the stuff that you're learning right now. I'm just going to give you a little tip. Because there are two kinds of people, those that are ready for it, those that aren't. And you can't make a person ready for it before their time any more than you can make a baby be born in a normal circumstance before its time. You know what I'm saying? So you know, if you're walking out of here in 6 month gestation period of the truth, and then you all of a sudden you're gonna bring somebody to the 3 month gestation up to where you are, then you're gonna have a problem with that person because they're not ready yet. So when you try to talk this kind of stuff, they're gonna look at you like you're crazy. And they're going to act, they're going to treat you like you're crazy. So you can't convince them. You can't convince them. You talk about Dancing with the Stars or whatever. So what's up with TV or whatever y'all can talk about. Just give you some tips. You can find out the hard way if you want to, but trust 28 years of working with people with this. There are certain things I can save you all time with because you're just getting into it, and I know everything your ego is going to do to try to do you in and fool you and hurt you. I know those things. But people think they're so different and special that I can't tell them because they're different. You know, so don't let your specialness get you hurt.
Okay, so the more you get into this, the more your ego gets frustrated and...
Right. Yeah, right.
Right,
because it's trying to what? Turn your attention back to your old state of mind.
Okay, I have to tell you, I go to... After Saturday, the 10th, my ego went nuts.
Right, and which I described all through the workshop that it was going to do.
I felt... Mm-hmm. It was a long time I didn't feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on saying, I know I'm wrong, this is not the way I want to feel, I'm connected, I'm in this... And I kept on saying it, but it kept on coming and coming and thinking... All that I heard here on Saturday, and I got furious because it's such a long time. I don't get so upset,
mm-hmm.
angry, and everything.
Great.
I got furious.
Great. Oh,
yeah.
That's so good. I know. That's good. That's
terrible.
Good. That's good.
It's such a long time. I don't get so furious. So
you know what the truth is? You always were. You were just pretending you weren't.
Mm. But I'm usually not that temperate.
You always were, but you were pretending you weren't. See, the only thing the truth does is it makes you aware of what's already going on inside of you. It doesn't put it there. So that anger that you felt was already anger that you had inside of you that you became aware of because your old self was trying to defend against this new self that you discovered that day. So it had to pull your attention back into the old stuff so that you say, that crap don't work. Let me go back to attack mode and doing it the way I used to do it. Which I said many times that day. As a matter of fact, most of the day, that's what we were talking about. Right. So you had an experience of what I was talking about. And you also have an experience of the fact that it worked because you're sitting up here right now.
Oh,
right, so you went through it. What you did take you through it to the other side. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you got here really angry.
Yeah, and it's okay. You know, stop being a nice person. It's going to drive you crazy on the spiritual path, trying to be a nice person. By a nice person, I mean a person who represses and does not express anything that they're really feeling on the outside, except that they're just trying to be nice all the time. It's going to get you. I'm going to give you a little Course in Miracles tips. You need to really understand that it's okay for you to have days that you feel very angry and very upset, and that's what's naturally coming up for you. Just define it as what it is. In other words, you know, this anger is a defense against the truth, or I'm not angry right now for the reason I think, but I still feel angry, but I'm not angry for the reason I think. But I certainly feel angry right now. It's about being honest and authentic that you go to the next level. It is not through pretending that you don't feel what you feel. You know, that's the old ego positive thinking path. And it's great to be positive, but it's not all it's cut out to be in terms of waking up. Because it got off a lot of people, it gets them into total denial about what they really feel and think about everything. Because they think it's not okay for them to express anything other than in the nicest feelings. And that's why it's kind of like there's a two-edged sword to everything in a way. Like you can be on the New Age path, like we're trying to be on the path of being more loving. But the flip side of that is we'll also get on the path of denial. And that's where the pain comes from. Where a person who's not trying to be nice, he's going to say he don't like you, you'll get out of his face, he's going to smack you upside the head. So he gets it right on out. That's why there's not that much violence in New York compared to the number of people that are there. Because they just express what they feel in the moment. And then they move on. Nobody gets out the car and actually beat anybody up, but they're going, oh, yeah, you know. And they just got it off. And everybody go, oh, you know, and everybody drive off. You know, but nice people, they just repress it until they explode. Either in terms of physical illness or actually going off on somebody. So when I'm around people and all they ever tell me, and I'm close to them, and they never share anything, but they feel perfect about everything, I'm kind of suspicious of that. Is this some real honest, cold, honest communication going on here? Might be, but I don't know. So the problem and the answer. What we want to do then is apply this to whatever we think we're going through. So I'm going to read a paragraph, and then we'll take that paragraph, and I'm going to show you how to use that paragraph on the situation that you got.
Well, you're still on anger.
Mm-hmm.
In the Tolle book, too, he's talking about the pain body.
Right. That's the best part of this work, is the pain body stuff.
Mm-hmm. But then step into that, too, and accept it fully.
That's what I mean by accepting
anger. This is saying, too, to recognize it.
Right.
You're separating from it by recognizing it.
Yeah.
But you're not pushing it away or pushing it down. You're stepping into it and accepting it. Be angry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't punish yourself for being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't then let the ego come in and say, yeah, I told you you weren't spiritual because now you're mad.
Right.
And then let it sort of pass right through you.
It's going to pass right through you.
Recognizing it.
You can count on it's going to pass right through you.
And then you're done.
You're done.
You didn't build the pain body. You didn't build the ego.
Right. Because if you have a feeling that's coming up that's making you feel angry, this picture, just because I always want pictures worth a thousand words, you could just, this is my anger at my mama. Boy, I feel angry at my mama. Boy, I'm mad at my mama. So I feel right now, so I'm just angry right now. But I'm not upset for the reason I think. Okay, here's the way we do it. I'm angry at my mama. I'm firing my anger at my mama. What did my mama do to me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let it go? I want to get my mama back. I don't even want to go visit my. I hate my mama. Okay? And what does hating my mama mean? And I shouldn't even act like I really do feel this hate for my mama. And I noticed, going through all this analytical process, I stopped it. Now, before I could get that question answered, here comes my upset with my boss. Okay, now it's coming. I ain't through to analyzing my anger, so what do? I put it up on the shelf. I'll get back to you later. I got to deal with my boss right now. So we collect this whole library of feelings and emotions that we analyze and try to figure out and judge. Because when you judge it, you got to stop to work on that judgment rather than just going, I feel angry at my mama, and the court says I'm not upset for the reason I think. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel right now. So I hope I'm wrong about this anger. I want another way to look at it. Perhaps there is another way to look at it. What can I lose by asking? Boop. See the difference? So if you're around me and you feel like crap that day, you can come and say, how do you feel? You can say, Earl, I feel like crap. take that opportunity with me. Don't fake it with me. I'm not impressed by being fine when you don't feel that way.
Couldn't we just become a hermit?
We already have. It's called our personal little huts, called our bodies.
Yeah.
The Course says this is the ultimate hermit.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate hermit vehicle. Because I sit here separate from you, you hear, and I can leave. You know, it's my getaway car. You know, if I don't like where I am, I can take my body and I can put my mind in it and I can leave out the door.
And your library goes with you.
And my library, and I'm going to get my library, and then I'm going to look at everybody in my life through my library. So I've never seen the real world. I've never seen the real world yet. I haven't seen the real world yet. I just see the world of fear broken in two by periods when people think they're happy about something that doesn't last. That's all I see here. I just see little children, and I'm one of them, making up toys that I think I'd like to play with and then getting mad and screaming and hollering when I don't get it or somebody looks like they're taking it away from me. And my greatest treasure is my specialness. My greatest treasure. You know, so that's what this book taught me. And then it says there's a whole other world on the other side of this that's not nothing like what we experienced, that's full of peace and full of joy and full of happiness and full of abundance. And it's just altogether different. But we don't see it because we're busy looking at our library. There's a whole world outside the library. You studying, right? Outside the library, there's a whole world going on. But while you're studying in the library, you don't see it. And if you stay there long enough, you forget it was a world outside. And then I come in and say, you know something, there's a world outside the library. And you say, I was a heretic. You say, I was crazy. This is the whole world. It's the library. What are you, some kind of a nut? And that's the way this is. Oh, there's something outside of this, you all. What? This is crazy stuff. I don't understand. Same thing. You're inside the library, but now you believe the library is everything. And I'm telling you through the course, there's something outside the library. Which is the answer. So it's trying to get us outside the library, but it takes a certain way of thinking to get outside the library. And then it gives it to us. Like, it says, number one, this is a very simple course. Perhaps you don't feel you need a course, which in the end teaches that only reality is true. But do you believe that only reality is true? When you perceive the real world, you will recognize that you didn't believe reality is true. It's almost like when you receive real love, you realize that you really didn't believe in it before, but you thought you did. You know, it's like when you're in a real relationship with somebody, you realize you thought you were in real relationships before, and you would have argued with somebody that you was in a real relationship, but you really weren't. So the way you dispel an illusion is through receiving a state that's better than the one that you think that you're in, and then you look back on it and you realize that you can let it go. So love's way of teaching us is through joy. The ego's way of teaching us is through struggle. Mm-hmm. Through us trying to figure out what we don't know on our own and then control it. So the Course says we're basically trying to control the unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. When I got all of my plans about what I'm going to do, I'm trying to control what I think is going to happen in an unknown period of time.
Making me tired.
And you can't help but be tired because you don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're making it up as you go along. So that's different than carrying out a plan.
Mm-hmm.
A person carrying out a plan, they'll look just like a person who's making up a plan to the outside world. If you're carrying out a plan, you still might make phone calls, you might even take a class, you might do whatever you think you need to do, but you're acting under direct guidance. When you're making a plan, you never stop for a second to ask Spirit what to do. You just decided you thought you'd like to do it this way, and then you go do it. That's you making up a plan.
And that's why you have to control the outcome, because you're making the whole thing.
You're making the whole thing up. So therefore, there you go. So you got to control everybody around you in order to try to get your plan manifested. So a person who makes up a plan is going to be a control freak. And a person who is receiving a plan knows that everybody that's a part of the plan would naturally take their part and do their part in the plan. So they don't have to control nobody, because everybody will be there to help them carry out the plan, if it's a real plan. If it's not a real plan, you've got to get everybody to do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
and that gets into fear, because if something goes wrong...
There you go. And then the fear distracts you from what? Hearing the still small voice within, because now you're worried about how you're going to take care of yourself, so now the voice for God is drowned out. Boom.
But if you're following the plan, even if something doesn't look like what you planned or what you thought it was going to look like, you're easily able to accept that that's just part of the plan.
There you go.
That you just, maybe you thought that person was going to be part of the plan and they weren't, and you're able to release and say, it's just not part of the plan I'm following.
I'm following the plan, because if it's part of the plan, it's going to flow with the plan. If it's not part of the plan, it won't flow with the plan. But if it's my plan, I might have decided what you should do. So therefore, I'm trying to fit you into my plan. And then you don't want to be in my plan, maybe. So now we are processing, discussing, and arguing. Because it's really two people don't want to be part of each other's plan. That's all an argument is. Or else we would be in harmony. So that's a perfect definition of an argument. Two people who don't want to be a part of each other's plan. I had a plan for you, but I don't want to do your plan. Go get somebody else to do your plan. Which you really could. That's the best advice they could possibly give you. Because there is somebody that's naturally suited to your plan that's part of their plan. But I decided you should be the one that's a part of my plan. And because I'm into form more than content. So therefore, I keep trying to force you to be a part of my plan, even though it's another person that's supposed to be a part of my plan. And I'm not letting them show up because I'm busy trying to make somebody that's not part of my plan part of my plan, which makes me unhappy. Which what distracts me from hearing the voice for God, because I'm mad. See, that's the game. That's the game. So he says, when you recognize the real world, he said, you recognize that you didn't believe that only the reality is true. Like, we don't believe that what we're hearing right now is true. It's at some point you will, but right now you don't. And so it says, yet the swiftness with which your new and only real perception would be translated into knowledge will leave you but an instant to realize that only the truth in reality alone is true. And then everything you've made will be forgotten, the good and the bad, the false and the true. For as heaven, which is love, and earth become one, even the real world will vanish from your sight. The end of the world is not its destruction. The end of the world is its translation into heaven, which is happiness. The reinterpretation of the world is the transfer of all perception to knowledge. So in that paragraph, we were told everything that's going to happen. He says, when you see things correctly, all of a sudden you're going to know the truth again. When you know the truth again, you're going to have but an instant to realize that what you're realizing is true. Then all the old stuff you made, you're going to forget about it. And then all of a sudden your reality is just going to become a reality of pure love and pure joy. And when your reality is nothing but pure love and pure joy, you're not even thinking about the stuff you used to think about when you were upset. So that's what the Course is saying. When you see things correctly, you will know it. Because you will forget all the things that you're unhappy about. Because your world will be so fulfilling to you. Which makes complete sense to me. That if you really know so much, Earl, then you would have forgotten about your issues. You would have forgotten about your patterns. You would have forgot about your grievances. You would have forgot about your problems. Because your world would be so satisfying, you wouldn't even have a reason to remember all that stuff anymore. That's what, see, tell us exactly what's going to happen. That's what I mean when I say, I get the answer, but I don't want to hear it, because it makes me too aware of where I am. Like, if this is true, then I still haven't recognized the truth yet. Because if I had recognized the truth about what's going on in my life right now, I would have forgotten about the problem. Because it would be gone. Then he goes on the next paragraph to tell us the attitude you needed to take in order to go to this reality. Which is, he says, the Bible tells you to become as little children, okay? I'm a little child, okay? He says, well, what a little child recognizes that they don't understand what they perceive. So rule number one, you need to understand that you don't understand what you're looking at. Because if you understood it, you wouldn't have any fear or conflict about it. Number one. So if I'm in a relationship and I really understood what was going on in that relationship, I wouldn't feel any conflict about it. So I need to say, I do not understand what's happening in my financial situation. I do not understand what's happening in my relationship. I do not understand my boss. I do not understand my job. I do not understand my weight. I do not understand my body. I do not understand God. I do not understand. So as a little child recognizes that they don't understand. That's why my little kid will walk up to me and ask me, well, what is that, Daddy? He says, why? Because the little child recognized they don't understand what it means, and then they ask you what it means. So that's the two-step. Okay? So if a person has a problem and they're using their correct mind, then the first thing they would say if they were upset is, I don't understand this. What does it mean? I don't understand this. What does it mean? What does it mean? And then he says, then you don't make the mistake of believing that you understand what you see, because its meaning is lost to you. Don't make the mistake of believing that you understand what you're looking at when you are in fear. Don't make the mistake of believing that you understand what you're looking at when you're upset. You don't understand what you're looking at when you're upset, according to the Course. That's when you don't understand what you're looking at, because its meaning is lost to you. That's why you're afraid. You're afraid because you don't understand what the heck is going on with your mate, and you don't understand what's going on with your money. You don't understand what's going on with your job. You don't understand what's going on with your health. He says, that's why you are going through the pain, is because you don't understand it. So if you want to correct the situation that you're upset about, say, I don't understand. A lot of times when I'm doing counseling with people, one of the things that I notice that shuts off information that they do all the time is they say, I understand that. I understand that. I know that. I understand that. I know that. And I know that every time they say that, that's their attempt to not understand and to not hear the answer. Because you can't know that and then have a problem. You can't know that and then be upset. You can't know anything and not have the answer. And if you got the answer, what's it that you're upset about? That's what this book says. It's like, oh man, I like this. This is too much sense. This is making too much sense. I have to deal with this. I'm used to something that doesn't make so much sense. That's insulting to my ego. I'm upset means I don't understand. I'm upset means I don't understand. I'm unhappy means I don't understand. I'm afraid means I don't understand. And that means I don't understand most of the things that's going on. Right. You don't understand most of the things, if not all the things that's going on. But your ego is telling you, because you are an adult and you study books and you read and you've been on the planet, you somehow are an ego who really knows what's going on. But the truth is, if you really did, Earl, you wouldn't be afraid. You would be in joy and you would be in peace. So it would be much better for you to say, I don't understand any friggin' thing I'm going through right now. I don't understand what I feel right now. I don't understand what I see right now. I don't understand it. I just don't understand you. I don't understand this. And it feels so good to say that. It feels so good in my body to say that. You'd be amazed. You ought to try it sometimes. You wouldn't think it would feel as good as it would feel. But you think the ego tells you that you're feeling good is based on saying, I understand and I am right. It doesn't know the pleasure of, you know, somebody asks you questions and you go, you know what? I don't know. I used to feel like I had to come up with an answer even if I didn't know something when somebody asked me. That's how much I'm trained to know. So rather than just tell somebody, I don't know, because I didn't want to seem ignorant. My ego. Mm-hmm. I saved them some time, because the worst thing could have happened was they could have listened to me and I gave them wrong information because I was trying to save my ego. I didn't know what I was talking about. I just didn't want them to know it. So I gave them all the wrong direction. How many times do we do that and don't even know it? We're making up stuff as we go along because we don't want to admit to somebody that we don't know. They believe it, and then they go through some kind of a situation, right? All right. So let me get this straight, because I've learned in the Course in Miracles you don't have to remember all of it. Okay, now here comes the good part. The Holy Spirit has saved this meaning for you. And if you would let the Holy Spirit interpret the meaning of what you're going on, what you're going through right now, the Holy Spirit will restore to you what you've thrown away, which is the meaning. And while you think that you know its meaning, you will see no need to ask it of God. So as long as we think we know what it means, we will not see any need to ask the higher self what it means. As long as you think you know what it means, you won't ask your higher self to intervene. That's what he's saying. If you think you know what it means, even though you're upset, then there would be no inclination to ask the self what it means. Okay, and it talks about that paragraph. Any questions about that? As far as, think about the situation that you think you want cleared up. Whatever that situation is right now that you think you need to have cleared up in your life, first thing you should say about it is, I don't understand what this means. And the once you say, I don't understand what it means, that opens your mind up to ask what it means of higher power, of God, if you really want to answer. What opens you up to the answer is to say, I don't know what it means.
So when I don't know, when I know I don't understand...
Could you get him to do something with the paper so I move it around? Thank you. So, right.
When I say I don't understand,
yes.
And then I ask, and then my ego immediately starts to analyze it.
Right.
How do I get that to stop?
You don't. You stop trying to get it to stop. See, that's the ego.
Well, but I know my ego's analyzing because it's using the same old crap. So
right.
I ask, what does this mean? So I wait for about 2.5 seconds. And then my ego comes in and says, "Well, I'll tell you what it means. I know what it means. It means
that." Well, see, I'm so glad you said that because many people say that. And here's the answer. The workbook gives you 365 different things to say back to your ego, and it means it. The course means it. When it says use the workbook, it means it. But it's the last thing that I used. For a long time, I still would read the workbook, and then when something would come up, I would still come right back with my, like you said, I'm analyzing. What should I say about that? I should say nothing that I'm telling myself means anything right now. I'm giving all this analyzation, all the meaning it has for me. I'm never analyzing for the reason I think. I only see the past in my analyzing. I am entitled to miracles. I want another way to look at this. I place this in the hands of God. You got, those are what you're supposed to say, and you're supposed to say them over and over again until you feel some degree of relief, which you will. If you could do that, you would be on a level of consciousness that would simply be spectacular. Because I promise you, the average person ain't gonna do that. They're not, like even like we get through saying this and something comes up for one of us, we walk, it will be a friggin' miracle if any of us said any of this that we just heard. I really don't understand that. I don't know what it means. At least I can decide I don't like. Just check yourself out and see how many times you actually use a suggestion that the Course said use in that situation. And I was appalled at how little I did. That I would listen to this, and in the end, I would still give myself the advice about how to deal with it. And it would be, like you said, the same old advice that I always gave myself, just in another flavor. But it wouldn't actually be something really different. Like, see, it would be really different for me to go, I'm never upset for the reason I think. I'm not 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 upset. It's because my ego doesn't want me to believe that if I say that over and over again long enough, I'm going to create a space for my sane mind to enter. And that's what happens. Then when your sane mind enters, it's going to dispel the illusion that you're going through. So all you're trying to do with these exercises is create an opening for the sane part of your mind to come in. So your ego is saying, figure it out. Figure it out. Or it'll say stuff like, that don't look like it would do any good. I can't pay my bills. And I'm just supposed to say, I'm never upset for the reason I think. I don't see how there's somebody just paying my bills at all. You see what I'm saying? It's just like your ego is going to be always the voice that says something the opposite to what the truth tells you to do. And that's how you know it. It's going to be the voice that says, don't say I'm never upset for the reason I think. It doesn't really mean anything. Say, you better figure out how you better do this. You better know who you got to call. Who can you borrow $5 from? That's your ego. Because it doesn't believe in God. It doesn't believe in a higher power. It doesn't believe that there's something greater than itself that can actually come into this experience and transform it. The Course says the world is pretty much made up of atheists and martyrs. People who believe that God is asking them to suffer, or people who believe they're alone and have to do it on their own, which is what the Course defines as an atheist. It's just somebody who believes they're on their own, autonomous, trying to make it. And that's what's happening a lot with the truth teachings that's going on right now, from the secret to all the rest of it. It's just the ego saying, I'm going to take what I'm learning right now to take care of myself even better. It's still coming totally from a perspective of ego. And then they don't get the result that they want in terms of peace. And then people are shocked when they try this stuff and they don't get the result. They don't realize they're still doing it from the perspective of, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do it all on my own. I'm going to apply this all on my own. So that's still ego. That's still the ego. Mm-hmm. And so as a Course student, I will sound like a broken record as a Course teacher to tell you that if you make the course about being mad at your ego all the time and getting upset with your ego all the time, then you're making your ego stronger. If it's all about, I felt really bad and that was a catastrophe because I got angry after I left the class, that is your ego. If you're hearing me right, you can feel angry after you leave the class and still be okay with yourself. If you're not hearing me right, then you think you're supposed to feel peace every second for the rest of the day, and if you don't, then somehow or another you've missed it. That's not hearing me right. Because if we were already at that level of consciousness, we wouldn't need the class. If you're already at the point that you had complete peace, you wouldn't even be walking in the door. So to set it up where you got to hear me say you deserve to have real peace and then walk out the door and be mad at yourself because you can't give it to yourself instantaneously, it's like going to a school to learn how to fly and then get mad because you're sitting in the classroom and you can't go out there and take off. You know, doggone well, you haven't learned it just because you read it to. And the same thing is true here. Just because we read it, because I'm ready to forgive, that don't mean I'm able to forgive any more than I might be ready to fly. It means I can go to the airport on the first day and get up in the plane and go. But I got an instructor. If I pay attention to the instructor, I will be flying one day on my own, so it seems. And that's what the Course is saying. Yeah, you're going to one day be flying on your own, and you're going to be making your own choices and decisions and everything, but you're going to be making it from your right mind. Right now we need instruction because all we know is our ego mind. So it's not the ego that can take you beyond the ego.
We should be born with a manual next world.
We got one. We got they come in a million forms.
Yeah, but we're not born with it. And
yes, we are. That's how you got this. This came from you. This is within you. The truth is within you. The physical world is an effect. So when you're looking at me, I'm physical. If I'm physical, I'm an effect. If I'm an effect, the cause had to be in you. So it's in you. This is in you. This is just an external symbol of what's going on in your own mind, or it wouldn't even exist. But also you have within you all this other stuff too. And that's where the conflict comes in. I got this stuff that I believe, and then I got that stuff I believe. I got two thought systems. I don't know about you, I got two. One that I'm one that I'm separate. And so the conflict comes from me not making a commitment to one thought system or the other, but continuing trying to do both of them at the same time, which is what the Course talks about. It talks about that. So you're trying to be separated and unseparated at the same time, and that's what's keeping you in conflict all the time. You're trying to play both ends against the middle. You got to make a choice. You know, are you innocent or are you guilty? Are you spirit or are you just the body? Are you separate or are you one? You got to make a choice. You can't. He says until you make a choice, you are actually in the separation. He says you think that you are like sometimes in the oneness and one time, sometimes in the separation. And the Course says, well, actually, until you make that choice to recognize the truth of who you are in the illusion. Trying to just make the decision, but you're in the illusion. It's not like I'm trying to decide between the ego or God or love or fear and I'm in this neutral place. He says, no, you're not in a neutral place. You are in fear trying to decide between fear and love. But you can't do both of them. Either I'm responsible for my experience or I'm not. But I can't go, sometimes I'm responsible. That means I don't believe I'm responsible for my experience. It's no in between. Like if somebody says maybe, to me that means no. So when somebody says maybe, I might, I just in my mind I go no. That way I won't get caught up in that in between illusionary conflict of state of is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? You know, he teaches us how to get out of conflict. Then you can hear the guidance that will say, you know what, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, go down to the state county building. There'll be a person in room 322 that you need to meet. Oh, you want to get this out at the level of the world, even though we know it's ultimately a spiritual issue, at the level of the world, you go down here, you do this, you do that, you do that, you do that. And you hear it. It's actual, like a for you, like a voice inside of you telling you what to do. And I'm beginning to hear, man, it really is a trip. because you used to think that you were like making something up, like, oh, that sounds good to say, it's still a voice inside of you. But there really is a frigging voice inside of you. It's really there. And it ain't the one you made up. And when you start to hear it and you follow it and you see the result, you become more and more enthusiastic about it because you learn through rewards and you've been used to learning through pain and suffering. And all of a sudden you find yourself in this new reality where more and more you seem to be learning through something good happening to you as you perceive it, as opposed to something crappy happening to you. And you kind of trip out because you weren't expecting it. But it comes from following guidance. And knowing how to tell the difference, right, between which voice. Because the voice is going to sound like your voice. And the only thing that's going to help you tell the difference between the two voices is what they're saying to you. Not the sound of them. You see what I mean? You know, my ego is going to sound just like the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be like my ego. And then the Holy Spirit goes, oh, la, 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 la. No, it's not two different sounds. It's like one goes like this. You are guilty and pathetic. And the other one goes like this. You're innocent and beautiful. Same voice. Now, what was the difference? The content. And that's what you'll start to notice in all your relationships is that bodies are everywhere. What makes people truly different is the content. That's what's going to let you know who you're getting ready to deal with. Well, I used to do it all the way around. I would choose the body first, and then I'd say I'd deal with the content later. Yeah, it's like the body first. You know what I'm saying? It's like the body. It's like, oh, okay, I see that body. I want that body. It's like going into the grocery store. I mean, like going to a department store or something, you know, but you call it going out to a party. And then you walk around through the department store party, and then you pick out which body you like to go home with or get to know better or go to dance with. And it's usually based on body because you don't know what, you haven't had a conversation, right? You haven't really had any dialogue. So what is making you choose one person over another? Well, you know exactly what it is. It's their body. So I don't even know what the content is, but I know I want it, you know. And sometimes the best poison in the world has been hidden in the sweetest of drinks, you know. And so, I don't know about you, when I used to be sick sometimes, my mama gave me the medicine. Sometimes the medicine that helped me the most was bitter. So it's not always what it appears is what I'm getting. It's the content. And so now I know how to tell the difference between the content of a person as opposed to putting it. I don't mean I don't have my body preferences because I have an ego. So I have preferences. But fortunately, they're beginning to dissolve more and more and more and more, where content is the king. And I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad of that. Because it's going to cut down on your pain in your relationships.
Because when you choose on the body, you're doing the same thing where you're making the decision yourself. You've already decided what you want the outcome to be. And then you're going to fit the pieces into it, whether they're supposed to be there or not.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Instead of asking for what you want and being guided towards.
Wouldn't that just sound easier? This is what I'd like. Oh, do you understand how to get it? No. Are you asking? Yes. Are you going to listen? Yes. I'm willing to listen. You know. But how can I tell whether you're telling who's talking to me? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's what the purpose of what you call your path is. Whatever your path is, which might be the course, might be something else. But the purpose of your path is to teach you how to tell the difference between the voices. Some people do it through Eckhart stuff. Some people do it through the course. Some people do it through the Bible. Some people do it through their life experience. But what they're learning is how to tell the difference between love and fear. And he says that once you know the difference, you will make the right choice. You just have to know the difference. But if it all looks alike, you don't know which one to choose. And that's why he says, well, let me flip that on you. Everything here is alike. So no matter what you're choosing the same thing. You're not really choosing anything different until you're choosing between love and fear. You're never choosing anything different just by choosing between different forms with the same content. You just will be the same person. That's what people say. It's just my mate. This mate right here is just like the one I had before that, the one I had before that, and the one I had before that. Yeah, because it's the same. You're going for the same content. You got the exact same attitude you had with the other three, which is what? I put the body or their physical circumstances before the content of their mind. So if I do that with you, and you, I'm going to have the same experience as you, even though you have different names. So the Course says at some point on the spiritual path, you realize that the only difference between anything that you're looking at is the name. I thought that was deep. That is the name. What's making you separate from me ultimately is my name. Because you separate me and label me with a name. So labels and names separate us. But no matter what y'all's name is, I promise you, I'm going to experience only one or two things with you. I'm going to experience peace or conflict, love or fear. And that's what I need to understand. So then I need to listen to him, and I would know by listening to him which one he's going for. By his, how he talks about his story. Is he blaming people for his story, or is he owning his story? Well, if he's blaming people for his story, and I make my interest in Act 342, then he's going to blame me sooner or later too, because that's the way he does his stories. That when something doesn't go right, it's somebody else's fault. How do I know that? Because that's what he's saying, and that's how he's acting. Right? But if he comes up and he says, I'm dealing with something right now, I'm making myself feel that way, I really want to let that go, I realize that I'm angry right now, and it's, I want another way to look at this thing right now because I really want to be a more loving person and I really don't want to attack it, I know that I'm dealing with somebody that's waking up. But if he slips into unconsciousness, this is really important. When a person totally gets into their ego and they're angry now and they're blaming now and they've gotten to that irrational place, y'all know what I'm saying, you cannot reach them with the truth at that point. And if you try to reach them with the truth, they're going to get angrier at you. So if I'm mad and I'm going unconscious and I'm really mad and you tell me, you know you created that. Why do you think you created that? You're the one who created that. You know you made that happen. Why did you create that? That's the question when I'm in my ego I could kill when somebody said, you know, why do you think you created that? You know, you're going to attract a much more negative energy back from that person than you would have possibly imagined. That's why when you're dealing with pure ego people, that's why you don't tell them the truth. You just remember it for them. So when you're around a totally unconscious person who has no idea that they create their reality, and they don't want to know they create their reality, then you silently remember that they create their reality for them. And then if you're going to do anything at a verbal level, you just try to remind them that they're safe and that they deserve peace and it's okay for you to have peace right now. Because even an insane person will generally agree with you when you say, don't you wish you were more happy, or don't you want joy? They usually won't say no. They'll usually go, yes, I really do wish I had this situation solved. So that's your role. It's not to go, well, let me tell you how your pain body is creating that for you. You know, it's like no. That's if you just want to make it a long, drawn-out process. Because if they're awakening, then they're already trying to move in that direction on their own. And they'll say something to you to let you know that they want to take some responsibility for what's happening. Because why would you want to be in an intimate relationship with an asleep being if you have a conscious choice anyway? Yes, I know why. What, the body? Something the body seems to have on, be or does. That's why I want this person, even though they're unconscious, there's something that I want about their body. That means also their physical circumstances when I say their body. I'm not just talking about sexually wanting their body. That's why I'm putting up with this mind that's totally insane, because there is some need that I think I have at a physical level that they think this person is going to meet for me, and I'm willing to make my sacrifice if I can have this house. Mm-hmm. That's what you call hanging yourself on the cross. That's the crucifixion. So in order to have the answer that we're looking for today, all we have to do is, when we leave out of here today, remind ourselves that we need to become as little children and recognize we don't understand what we see, so we should ask for what it means. If you make the mistake of believing that you understand what's going on when you're upset, that blocks your willingness to ask for guidance. So it's no advantage to saying, I know, when you're unhappy, because it will make you forget to ask. That's why it's a disadvantage to go, I know, even when I'm upset. It's not because you're bad, not because you're going to be punished, but it just blocks the next stage, which is opening yourself up to the solution. Okay, so I'm going to stop here. And then when you get that guidance, it should make you feel a little bit more peaceful, whatever it is. And then what you do is you follow that guidance, because the more you follow it, the more you strengthen that guidance muscle. Yeah, because you're going to get information. You're going to get some kind of synchronicity is going to happen when you ask. And then do it. Because if it's an answer that comes from the Holy Spirit, the Course says that if it's an answer that comes from the Holy Spirit, it will not increase your fear. It will not increase your fear. It's not the same as saying it might not freak your ego out, but it won't increase your fear. Because you aren't your ego. Mm-hmm.
So if it's to increase fear of your ego, it would be messages like, what are people going to say?
There you go.
You fail.
Yes. You know, you're not going to be able to do this.
You tried this before.
That's funny too when people say to me that they tried something before, and I always want to say, you haven't tried this before from the level of consciousness or instruction that you're receiving from Spirit right now. So you, when you say you tried this before, that's really true. You tried this before. Yeah, you did. Now we're talking about letting Spirit do it, which is a different thing. So did that stir up something for everybody? Did that stir a little bit
I've
up?
I've already been stirred.
Anybody else?
I'm trying to settle down.
did any of you all check them out? Did any of you see how, based on what we heard today, you might have been blocking the solution to the thing that you're trying to get an answer to? Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's so many things that you don't have the time maybe to listen also.
What's that?
Because you're so busy.
Right. That's why I feel like anybody that studies spirituality in the United States of America, I feel like they must be extraordinarily strong souls, because there's so many things that distract us here. This is like the Disneyland for the souls. You know what I'm saying? So if you can come to this country and be in this society that is so focused on material and the outer, and I'm not saying it from a judgmental place, that's just what it is, then there must be something in you that's incredibly old and ready to wake up. You know what I mean? It's almost like seeing a plant grow up through the crack of a sidewalk or something. You'd be wondering, like, how did it manage to make its way out of that? You know what I'm saying? That's us. We like the crack in the sidewalk. It's like, because think about it, there's no logical reason why any of us should be interested in any of this. From a logical perspective. It's not like you turn on the TV and they say, think this. Or you go to a movie and they say, think this. Or you're around your friends and relatives in general and they say, think. So why are you thinking this? Why are you interested in this? Why are you open up to this? That there was something else that woke you up. It's not anything out here. Now out here will start to remind you, but it started from your own personal choice first. And then you'll start receiving the assistance from outside you, because you're the one who called on it by awakening it within yourself. Because everything out here is what's in here, right? So I'm not going to have to help out here until I choose to help in here. So you're choosing to help yourself by learning what you're learning. It's simultaneously creating what you would think of as physical help out there, because it's all correspondence. You know, 10 truth thoughts, you know, 10,000 people that's helping you, because it always is more. So you might think one truth thought and you receive, let's say, 10,000, 100, like the Course said, 100. The Course puts it this way, I love it. It says a picture worth 1,000 words. It says when you practice the truth, it's just like the difference, and when it comes back to you, it's like the difference between a candle and the sun. Mm. Now that's a big ratio change, folks. He said, for every little bit of truth you practice, it comes back to you multiplied thousands and thousands of times greater than what you gave it. And so if you're claiming the truth in yourself right now, it's going to come back to you thousands and thousands of times more than you gave it. So what's going to come back to us just from us doing this today, it will be mind-boggling to us.
And one of the things I'm 100% sure is you can never go back, because you see people like you say, and you say, how can they be? How was I like that before?
Yeah.
Even though,
yeah,
whatever you're going through.
Yeah, and that's where you get a chance to forgive yourself, because the Course says you only see the past. And I took that, and that's really deep when you think about it. It's like, who are the people that I'm upset with for being so asleep? Well, they're just being the way that I was before I began to wake up. So they're just giving me a chance for me to bless myself, because if I condemn them, I'm condemning myself, because I did the same thing myself. So I can't condemn you for what I used to do unless I want to condemn myself again. And if I condemn myself again, you know what happens when you're condemning yourself? When you condemn yourself, you put yourself to sleep like they are. Because that's what you go through when you're condemning yourself. You're an unconscious person that's a victim of everything that seems to be hurting you. That is what self-condemnation thoughts create physically. So if I condemn you, I'm lowering my consciousness back to a struggle level. But if I go, you know what? I'm just seeing my past. That's exactly the way I used to be myself. Let me have some compassion on this person because that's the way I was. Then you're keeping your vibration high and you're healing them at the same time and taking them out of their self-condemnation, because you will be one person in their life that's not condemning them. You will be a witness that they're innocent. Even if they got everybody around them hating them, they'll go, you know what? You're the one person to treat me pretty cool. I really appreciate that. You see what I'm saying? You become that, and because you didn't condemn them, you have freed them, and you're also keeping your own vibration on a non-struggle level. That's a good deal. So we're going to get a chance out in the lab now to see if we...